Thank you for the invitation. I'm going to be a little bit different than our previous speakers. I am a food technologist working in the Market Quality and Handling Research Unit, which is located in Raleigh, North Carolina, and peanuts is the commodity that I work with. And as our previous speaker has said, nuts, including peanuts, are a high-quality protein. They have a lot of heart-healthy fats. They're a good source of dietary fiber and also of antioxidants, mainly because of the skin. Peanuts, in particular, contain more protein than tree nuts, up to around 25%. They have high levels of monounsaturated fat. I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. And again, a good source of dietary fiber. To look at the peanut plant, it is a legume, not a tree nut. It's usually row cropped. The botanical drawing in the middle shows that you have these little yellow flowers that the plant self-pollinates, forms pegs that go underground, and then form the seed, which is enclosed in a woody pod, and it has a big tap root. So the peanuts themselves are actually the seeds of the plant, not the root. And this is a harvested plant showing that big root again and the peanuts at harvest. So like any most other legume, dicot seeds, it consists of two cotyledons, which are high in the lipid and the carbohydrate content, which provide the energy for the growing embryo. And you can see this one is actually starting to sprout a little bit with the plumel showing. And they're also inside the shell coated with something, the testa, or what we normally refer to as the peanut skin. So peanut production in the U.S. is very important. There's about 1.5 million acres under cultivation this year, which will translate to about 3 million tons of peanuts. And at the farm level, that's $1.5 billion. But of course, it's much higher as you go up the chain of product development. 50% of that goes to peanut butter. In the U.S., peanut butter is the major use of peanuts, and not so much in Europe or other parts of the world where the oil is more favored. Here we eat about 6 pounds of peanuts per year. It goes into a lot of other products, confectionery, bakery. Of the top 10 selling candy bars in the U.S., 5 of them contain peanuts. And your number one seller is the Snickers bar. So like I said, they're about 25% peanut. And as Dr. Matheson says, allergens are of a big concern. There are 12 known allergenic proteins in the peanut. The proteins are high in arginine, which is a vasodilator, leucine, and it's not a complete protein as it is deficient in methionine, lysine, and tyrosine. Peanut protein is a very valuable product. It's showing up in the marketplace in a lot of things, your protein bars, your powdered peanut products that go into smoothies are very popular now. You can also use the protein isolates in these power bars and protein hydrolysates. In the mid-80s, I believe, a mutant showed up in the Florida breeding program where a desaturase, and it's turned out there may be several variations on that, occurred. So in the normal development of a peanut, what happens is you start to express oleic acid And then this desaturase turns on and converts it to linoleic acid. And in the mutant, this desaturase it turns off. And so as a result, you end up with a peanut that accumulates all this oleic acid as opposed to linoleic acid. So in a normal peanut, you're at harvest, your ratio of oleic to linoleic will be somewhere between 0.5 and 3. But with these high oleic varieties, it can be as great as 9. So you can have peanuts that are up to 80% linoleic as in their lipid profile. And as a result of that, conventional breeding programs in the U.S. Have used this so that now in almost all the peanuts that are currently the new cultivars being developed are all these high oleic varieties by conventional breeding. There is not really much GMO being done with peanuts for the commercial market because the European markets will not accept that, so the peanut has generally stayed away from that. So the importance of these high oleic peanuts is they have this improved oil stability. You've decreased the amount of linoleic acid, so you can decrease the onset of rancidity. It takes longer, and why that's important is actually in the functionality of the peanut in the finished product. You get this increased shelf life when you're using it as a fry oil. It's very popular for frying, especially seafood. European markets use a lot of peanut oil. There's less rancidity problems. The oil doesn't get sticky or viscous as fast when you're frying, and it has that more favorable fatty acid profile that causes it to be more heart healthy. And if, in terms of the oil functionality, this guy here is one of the main reasons why these new cultivars are being produced, is that if you have a product where you're eating an individual peanut as opposed to peanut butter, where it's a mass of things ground together, and if you have a few rancid ones, you'll never notice. If you're eating a candy like that, and one at a time, if you get a bad one, you're going to know it. And it's going to give you a negative impression of the brand and reduce your repeat buying. So if we talk about byproducts of peanuts, peanut skins are one of the major things. And the main problem is they don't have any food value. Most people, if you're eating peanuts out of the shell, you'll crack the shell and you'll rub that red skin off and eat the peanut. Because they're very bitter, they're very stringent, there's limitations to what you can do with the animal feed use of it because of they're very high in phenolics, which are anti-nutritional for the animal. So you're limited to about 2% that you can put into animal feed. So what you're left with is, how do I get rid of them? If you can't give them away for feed, then you have to pay a tipping cost at the landfill to get rid of them. So we have looked into using peanut skins as a food additive, and there's a number of people that have done this. At the University of Georgia, they've looked at it, and in Argentina, they've done a lot of studies with it. If you just take peanuts with the skins on, I think you've seen them in a can, they're called red skins, and those are usually the Spanish type, which are very sweet, and you can kind of get away with the bitterness in that product. But if you just take what we call unblanched, which are the peanuts with the skins, and you grind that into peanut butter, you get this darker appearance. You have these little flecks of stuff in it, and people look at it and say, oh my God, what's wrong with my peanut butter? There are some products on the market like that. This is one from Trader Joe's. They have a more bitter flavor. It gives you a strange mouthfeel. The peanut butter gets kind of stiff. And then also the the presence of those phenolics in the peanut butter actually triggers rancidity. So we know they're very high in phenolics, which have a lot of antioxidant potential. And if you look at products like tea, cranberries, they kind of sell on that astringent feeling that you get in your mouth from these phenolic materials. So we looked into trying to pull out the phenolics to see if we couldn't make a functional food ingredient. So this is just a schematic of one of the things we do. We take the skins, we use aqueous ethanol and extract them, and then we filter off the insoluble material. So now we have this insoluble material, the phenolics are gone, it's not bitter. So this makes a higher quality animal protein, it's got fiber, it's got protein, so it's a better quality for the animal without the anti-nutritionals. So then we can get rid of the ethanol off of that filtrate, we spray dry it, and then we either encapsulate it in with maltodextrin, or we just spray dry it to a powder. So now we have this functional food ingredient, and these are some of the properties of it. In terms of antioxidant activity, if we just use one of the common chemical assays, in this case we're using DPPH, we can see that this material has this huge amount of antioxidant activity. This is actually the spray-dried powder. This is the spray-dried powder incorporated with a with maltodextrin. Pecans, which have the skin still on them, walnuts, again the skins. It's much higher. Almonds, again the skin still on, and peanuts. It's just more concentrated of the good part of the skins. So we compared it to some other products, blueberries, which are touted for this antioxidant potential, chocolate powder, of course, and we can see that our extract, which is the liquid, is about equal to blueberries. Our spray-dried with the maltodextrin is higher than chocolate powder, but our spray-dry extract without any encapsulation is way up there in the label, in the area of a lot of the spices. So we looked at anti-inflammatory response in a mouse cell model, and what we found was in terms of prostaglandin E2 expression, that if we take our extracted material, here's our control, no treatment. Here's our control that's been challenged with lipopolysaccharide to induce inflammation. We added extract to the control just to make sure that that did not induce any inflammation, and we saw that there was a little bump, but it was not significantly significant. Once we challenged the cells with the lipopolysaccharide and added our extract, we had a dose response of reducing that inflammation with the use of our extract material. So we do see that it does have some health potential. So some applications of it, and this is what I think drew the attention of Dr. Walters, was that we used it in some food materials, and again, we have to always bear in mind that allergenic issue. It does come from peanuts. We have looked at the protein profiles, and it's very, very different from normal peanut proteins in that it's almost exclusively proline. And we have done some testing with kits and things to see if we got an allergenic response. We did not, but we are not in any stage ready to say this is a non-allergenic material. It needs more testing that we are currently doing. So we tried it as a beverage additive. we stuck to a food that people would associate with peanuts and chocolate. And then we also used it as a coating material for peanuts with different seasonings and things, because again, you have a lot of phenolics present, and that gives you a bitter taste. So you're looking for things that can mask the bitterness. And the results were that we incorporated it into chocolate at different levels, and we used a consumer panel, which are untrained people, to taste our chocolates. And the question that we asked them was, you have three pieces of chocolate. At what point do you detect a difference? So at very low level, we had a group of people who, there are the super tasters, you probably heard of that, who are very bitter sensitive, and they could pick it out at almost any level. As you increase the amount of it, you have your most consumers, they couldn't taste anything, and until we got up to levels of close to 3% before most of the people said, hey, there's something different about this chocolate. We didn't ask them, do you like it better? We asked them, which one is different? So that's our best estimate threshold of how much a consumer is going to be able to not detect that there's something different about the candy. So again, we're using milk chocolate, and you've heard a lot about dark chocolate being more healthy for you, having these healthy compounds. So our goal was to try to fortify milk chocolate to the level of bioactivity above dark chocolate without our customers being able to say something's different about this chocolate. And we were easily able to surpass that. Here's the level of Trelox equivalents for dark chocolate. Here's our best estimate threshold inclusion, and you can see we're almost 10 equivalents above that in our chocolate candy. So we moved on to some coatings for peanuts. In this case, this is a honey roast coating. And we asked the people, we had a different group of consumers. We didn't have that many super tasters this time, so we found that we had a rather higher inclusion of for our honey roast coating for the peanuts. We did, and again, if we used some berries as our goal, and for the peanuts, we found that we didn't quite make it on the berries with the honey, with a honey coating, but we were almost there. We tried a chili lime coating, which has salt in it, and salt is a good master of bitterness, and we found that we were able to go a little bit higher than the berry level to get to our consumer threshold with this chili lime coating, which is has salt and spice in it. So in summary, the seed of the peanut is more than just a peanut. It can add functionality to food. Peanut flour can be made from defatted peanuts. It's a little bit higher in sugar than wheat flour, so you can't use it 100%. You have to cut it with something, or else it's too sticky. But it does add more protein. It adds more fiber to foods than just wheat flours. And it's also gluten-free. We can add bioactivity when we add peanut products back to foods. Especially we've shown that with our skins, which increases the health effects, and but that allergenic potential still remains a factor in using these things. So thank you very much, and take some questions. Yes.
That was great. Do you have to do tests after adding the dry material to the food to see how well it retains, how well they
Yes, those were the tests were in the finished products. And we're right now starting a, getting ready to start a study on glucose tolerance with a material in humans. Okay. Another question?
Well, I have a question. You have said that, that the presence of the antioxidants in the skin
mm-hmm.
increase rancidity.
Yes, and that was the most amazing thing was when we first, you know, started working with the skins and we said, oh, we have all these hydroxylated compounds, they're going to be antioxidants, it's going to be great. And then we did it and we're like, what happened here? And what we found was we're getting the peanut skins from blanching operations where to blanch the peanuts, they heat them just a little bit, not enough to cook them, but just a little bit to kick those seeds off. And that causes some of the oil to leach into the skins. So it's the oil in the skins that's kicking off the rancidity in the product. Because yes, that and we actually published on that in the Journal of Food Science a couple years ago about what is happening to cause that. But also because it's so, you have all that fibrous material in there, it makes the peanut butter kind of chalky, not smooth. So it was better to extract it out so we could add little tiny amounts of material than it was to just try to put the bulk of the skins into the peanut butter.
I always wonder on these, you know, when people are trying to make new bioproducts out of things, what's the potential amount that you can get? I mean, obviously there's a lot of peanut production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the recovery of skins from these, you know, blanching operations and so forth? And then, you know, how much material can be generated to be used?
Well, we've kind of figured that based on how much is blanched every year, we have on the order of 700,000 pounds of material that's raw material. And right now I have an ARS innovation grant to do a bulk extraction. And it's actually being done down here in a chemical company that does pharmaceutical extraction. And they called me up and said, we're getting recoveries of like 20% of dry matter out of these, of phenolics. Is this real? And I said, yeah, that's real. You know, 20% dry phenolics come out of this stuff. So that's a huge amount of material. Because when we fortify, you know, we're using tiny, tiny amounts to get what we need. So it has some potential. Hopefully, we're about to find out, but it's all going to come down to the economics of what can you do with the end product, how much money you want to spend on getting it out. But the feed itself is partially good because right now you're limited to how much you can use. But once you take these phenolics off, the fiber and the protein that's available, that's unlimited that you could feed. So you could get rid of the solid material very economically, and that would add value to the extraction.